The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Impassioned speeches were heard in the Dáil today as the spotlight moved to the treatment of whistleblowers. It's as a private member's motion was brought forward on strengthening protections for those who do whistleblow. Well, Independent Ireland TD Ken O'Flynn brought the motion and he joins me now, as does Noel McGree, who's a whistleblower who highlighted corruption in the prison service. You're both very welcome.
Thank you very much.
To the programme. Ken, I'm going to, I suppose, start with you. What motivated you to bring these whistleblowers together? I know there was a number of them, because you referred to them in the Dáil. You were sitting in the public gallery today watching this debate. What motivated you to bring them together and to bring this private member's motion?
Well, I suppose the whistleblower movement became very clear to me after I was elected as a TD. I had met with this gentleman a couple of months prior to becoming a TD at my office opening in Mallow, and he ended up being my PA, and I was deeply impressed with him. But I didn't realise his background was he did come from a background of being a whistleblower in Tuzla. And he sat down one afternoon with me and he told me his entire story. And very hard to listen to. Very tough to listen to what that boy went through. The perseverance of this guy, the how he managed. 2 years of his life was absolutely destroyed. People in the organisation went out deliberately to destroy him personally, said he wasn't fit for working with children, destroyed him financially, kept him employed in the Tuzla books with zero income, wasn't able to get unemployment benefit. He was brought into, when he did his protected disclosure order, there was three solicitors, or three barristers and one solicitor in a room, and he went in on his own with his solicitor that turned up late. And he recalls the story today in a press conference of, you know, he got so nervous that he turned the newspaper upside down to read the newspaper to hide. And I remember bringing this story up in the Dáil under a leader's question to the Taoiseach, Simon Harris. And I made the statement that many people across the nation already know, is that the whistleblowers in Ireland do not feel protected. In fact, they're destroyed. And
it's a real sort of David versus Goliath situation,
absolutely,
is what you're explaining
with
there.
With absolutely no, you know, if you become a whistleblower, you don't get state protection as such. You don't get legal protection. You don't get free legal aid. There's very little available to you. And the supports just aren't there. They're maybe in writing, but they're certainly not there in the lived reality.
And how would you say personally that person that you refer to there? Because I can see you're sitting across from me here in the studio. You're actually getting emotional. You're getting teary-eyed thinking about him and what he went through. How did he feel about it?
Well, you know, he was personally destroyed, you know, and he's now rebuilt his life. In fairness, he's a wonderful young man. I'm so proud of him. But after making that statement in the Dáil, the phone started ringing in the office. And whistleblower after whistleblower from all sections of society and from all corners of Ireland started calling the office. We were inundated with telephone calls. It wasn't about fixing doors and footpaths and cutting trees anymore in the constituency office. It was, this is my experience, and can I send you an email? Can I talk to you? Can I have 10 minutes with you? Can I have 20 minutes with you? People that met me in my office in Cork, they met me in my office in Dublin. I must have met genuinely 50 serious cases in the last 6 months of whistleblowers coming from local authorities, coming from nursing homes, coming from universities, coming from technical colleges, coming from different state agencies.
And I noticed that in your clip today, that it was all of the sectors that you mentioned. I mean, it was right across the board, which is to be, I suppose, expected.
Yeah.
But still, when you said that, it made me sort of sit up and think, this is everywhere. These whistleblowers are extremely important. We need these people to come forward. They're in all walks of society, all walks of life. But you say they're being left to suffer.
From banking inquiries right over to Women of Honour. And the one thing that came through to me was there were different scenarios. There were different whistleblowing. Noel will tell you his story about informing on 20 million euros being taken out of the state, being stolen from the state. There was different stories. But there was the one playbook all the time. It was discredit, destroy and punish the person. And it was with everybody that I had met, it was the same kind of destruction of their life. It was going after them financially, ruining their lives financially, ruining their reputation. Whether you were caught like Maurice McCabe, whether you were saying that they were you know, there was abuse in the family home, whether you were saying they were safe with children, whether you were saying that this person is a lunatic. When you people whose rumours put out about them.
Their reputations.
Reputation. There's rumours put out about people that they had committed suicide. And of course, you know, then they'd hear, oh, well, he didn't commit suicide. But then, of course, there was the story of going around of, you know, there was no smoke without fire now here. He must be suicidal. There must be something wrong with her. There must be something wrong with him. They were the stories that were coming across all the time. All the time.
And Noel, yours is one of those stories. You made a protected disclosure while you were working within the prison service back in 2016. It's almost a decade later. How are you now?
Destroyed. And even worse, my family is destroyed. And that's the unseen victims of whistleblowers, because the whistleblower gets a certain platform like today. But, you know, I have a wife and two sons at home, and they're suffering as well because of my treatment, and they're the unseen victims of all of this. You know, I actually made several protected disclosures, and those protected disclosures were investigated and they were upheld. In some cases, I received letters of apology from the prison service and from the Minister for Justice for my penalisation. I received letters of commendation for the deficiency in the operation of the prison service that I highlighted. And then when I look for redress or for my penalisation to be dealt with so that I can work safely or I can be compensated for my loss, the state tells me that I wasn't penalised and none of this happened. So you see the value of the letters of apology. They're clearly not worth the paper they're written on, when the state can just turn around and ignore them afterwards.
I mean, it has actually really clearly impacted your life, because you did walk away from that job. You felt you couldn't continue in it. You had to take early retirement and take a huge cut in salary. And you say all of the difficulties there with wages and underpayment of wages and errors with your wages and having to go off on sick leave and all of that, I presume the stress meant that you went into arrears with your own family home, which you lost last month.
Yeah, like... The thing about whistleblowers is we're isolated and we're kind of beaten up in the shadows, because you'll have seen it in the Dáil today, ministers saying that they can't even read a protected disclosure. So you don't get any kind of political representation. We got it today. Independent Ireland raised the matters today brilliantly and shone a light on what's happening. But government ministers, even though we make the protected disclosures to them, they don't engage with us, they don't follow up with us. So you're very much beaten up in the shadows and isolated. But a group of us came together, a group of whistleblowers came together, we found each other and we shared stories of our experience. And what came true very quickly is that there's clearly a playbook in how to deal with whistleblowers, because you can't say it's a coincidence that a whistleblower in the prison service suddenly finds his pay has been deducted in error, that apparently my name is similar to someone else's and I was removed from the payroll in error, you know, pretty much every month. But when you hear that a person in the HSE had the same treatment, somebody in the Department of Agriculture had the same thing happen to them, somebody in education had the same thing happen to them, now it's not an error. Now it's not a, you know, that's not a coincidence. This is clearly a playbook, and it's what's done to us on a regular basis.
And is it the financial penalties that you have faced? Has that been the most difficult, do you think?
Well, like, it's a knock-on effect. I mean, when you get into trouble like I'm in, what's the obvious solution? You need to go and get legal representation and fight the matter in courts. But solicitors and legals in Ireland cost a lot of money. And if you're already getting your pay deducted and then maybe on a position where you're in no pay, now you're not in a position to retain those legals. So it's all kind of a cumulative effect, I think. You know, there's a strategy brought in. And there's a wear on whistleblowers, because, you know, you mentioned I made a protected disclosure in 2016. My story started in 2013. I just refused to steal in 2013. I was given an instruction to steal public property in the prison. And I refused. Because I refused, I was singled out as somebody who wouldn't be a team player. And I was punished for that. And I reported my punishment on that issue, right? In 2014, the Irish government brought in the Protected Disclosures Act. It has a retrospective element which reached back in time into 2013 and identified what I said and done as a protected disclosure. So I never set out to be a whistleblower. I didn't plan this. I just got in trouble in work, reported it so it would be dealt with, a law came along a year later which defined it as a protected disclosure. That defined me as a whistleblower, and matters escalated from there.
Do you regret it?
Oh, massively. 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 If you're in the public sector, steal all around you, because you'll just be seen as one of the team, and it's the practice.
Well, I don't know if it is actually the general practice.
It's my experience.
It was your experience, but I think just to defend some of the public sector out there, how has it impacted your family?
No. I mean, across the board. So my salary would have been deducted on a regular basis. And when I say a regular basis, you're talking, say, from 2013 up until 2018, it was happening regular. And if I was to pick one 6-month window, there would have been 11,000 euros deducted in error from my wages in that 6 months. And around 7,000 of that would have been returned. So that would have been chaos. You know, you're not getting paid for what you're working today. Money is coming in 6 weeks' time that was owed to you. So, you know, I've had my wife at the tail of the grocery store with a basket of shopping, and the debit card would be declined. So she has to give back the shopping and leave without it. My son had his birthday when he was 11 years of age, and aunts and uncles came and gave him cards with money, and he offered the money to mum and dad because he knew we were struggling. For me, the worst was in 2019. I was taken off the payroll entirely in 2019. We were living on just the children's allowance for the two children that we have. So, you know, that was particularly hard.
Ken, there is legislation brought in. There was new legislation brought in, and indeed there is a commissioner in this particular area. Why do you think that's not adequate?
Well, look, I'd be straight with you. The paperwork is very strong, but the practice is incredibly weak. And that's what we were trying to highlight. And we were trying to copper fasten, double down, gold plate the legislation that's there, similar to what's been brought on. I must tell you something, that there was a euro derivative sent out by the European Union, and 50% of the 50% of the all the compliance, or sorry, of all the documents that were sent back to the European Union came from whistleblowers in Ireland. So it tells you something that's really wrong. And what we've identified particularly wrong is the lack of free legal aid that's available to the whistleblower, and the lack of legal protection from them. Because the state has, you know, endless resources when it comes to legal teams. But if you're coming in as a whistleblower from a nurse, or from you know, a low paying public sector job, you just don't have access to that money.
All right. Look, we're going to have to leave that discussion there for now. But my thanks to Independent Ireland TD Ken O'Flynn and to Noel McGree.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.